great singing. Why don't you please be seated?
Good evening. Today is quite an interesting day. This week has been interesting for me. Eye surgery, and just now I had a coughing fit. It's like swimming uphill here. So I hope I can appeal to your patience and hear what I have to say tonight. I suppose after tonight, my contribution to pastor appreciation will be when you hear your pastor preach next week, you'll appreciate it a lot more. So anyway, let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you don't leave us to our own devices. We thank you that you are with us, helping us, encouraging us, rebuking us, whatever it takes, Lord. And thank you for your ministry of the word. And Holy Spirit, now as we go to share, I hope that this promise is fulfilled, that you will guide us into all truth, because in this truth we can learn how to walk with Jesus a little more. Looking forward to answered prayer, we continue in your presence now. Amen. We have been given a lot of things to help us in our Christian life. You know, I'm thankful God has not left me to my own devices to figure it out, because I'd be going off in all sorts of wrong directions. We don't have to leave it to guesswork to figure out the right path to take. Pleasing God is required, but every effort on God's part has been made to help us towards that end. For instance, we have prayer. We have gifts of the Spirit. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit. History from the Bible to help us to learn the lessons that might have caused the people of God in the past to succeed, to fail. We can learn from that. And to his glory, we have each other, which is an accomplishment in itself. But we need to appreciate one item that he has given us that we should always be thankful for: our full-time vocational servants, who we call our pastors. Now, if you remember, Fred read, and thank you, Fred, for reading Hebrews 3. Tonight's sermon is Hear His Voice. And that's what we want to concentrate on, because the people of God did not hear his voice. And that's why Hebrew 3 exists, to serve as a warning to us. Our pastor's work is something always we need to be grateful for. Like the verse in Hebrews, they are here to help us hear his voice and to avoid the pitfalls that led to the wilderness difficulties of the nation of Israel. Our pastors don't want accolades and, you know, or book royalties to encourage them to do the right thing. All they want is from us, the congregation, evidence that we are hearing his voice. And one of the things that was quoted is that in Hebrews 3, they didn't hear his voice. And what had happened is in Exodus 15, the people of Israel were grumbling about not having water. Okay, I have a brother in New Zealand who I shared something on Facebook with this, and he said, "Why is God so hard on a little bit of introspection?" And my response to him might have been like rabbit hunting with a bazooka, but I had to respond to it. I couldn't let that go unnoticed. So I'll just give you a little context to hear to discover where we're going tonight with our pastor appreciation and how we can hear God's voice and follow him a little better. In Exodus 15, so the people grumbled at Moses saying, "What shall we drink?" Okay, now that doesn't seem too bad, but let's just give a little context to this. To start off where the people of Israel are right at that point in Exodus 15, okay, we start off. Aaron's with the people still in Egypt. Aaron's rod, he threw on the ground. It became a serpent. The magicians of Egypt at the time did the same thing, but Aaron's rod ate up swallowed the other serpents. Okay, then the Pharaoh was charged with, let my people go. And so when he didn't let them go, a plague would be delivered to the Egyptians for not doing that. And there was all these plagues that were delivered to the Egyptians. And eventually Pharaoh said, okay, you guys go. And what happened then in Israel? Where are they going to go? Well, God didn't have to wait too long before he had a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day and guiding them. They didn't have to worry about which direction to go. And when the Pharaoh changed his mind and said, well, on second thought, I want these guys back. Who's going to do all the hard work around here? So Pharaoh got his army and started chasing them. And so the pillars that were guiding them by day now go behind them and separated the two camps to protect the people of Israel. Okay? Now they come to the Red Sea. And Moses uses his rod. And the Red Sea parted, and they walked in between walls of water. And not only were they walking between walls of water, the ground, like even if you get the water out of a pond, what's on the bottom of a pond? It's still mucky, isn't it? But they walked along with their carts on dry ground. Okay, so they get to the other side of the Red Sea, and the Egyptians, once again, you think they'd learn by now, but they started chasing the people of Israel. Well, the waters went back and destroyed the... And get a load of this, okay? These were just slaves in Egypt. They did not have... The Israelites were slaves in Egypt. They did not have a nation of their own. They had nothing except their slavery. This was the army of the mightiest nation in the world at that time, in this world that they lived in. And God had just rescued the people of Israel, slaves with no nation, from the mightiest nation with the biggest army in the world. Okay, so they get, and Moses and Miriam taught the people how to react, and they sung their songs of deliverance. Okay? And they started on it didn't take more than 3 days. It says in Exodus, they went 3 days into the wilderness, and they started complaining about water. What are we going to drink? Well, I tend to want to ask the question, well, if God saved us from the Egyptians, if all these miracles with the Aaron's staff and being led out of there and the Red Sea, and I guess God can help me from being too thirsty. You know, that's the question I think it begs. But how much do we here in Newcastle, in an almost application, how much do we miss hearing the voice of God and act like the Egyptians did? You know, sometimes there are times when I have little sayings, and I hope that God doesn't have to do what he did here, but he can get my attention just with a little tap on the shoulder, not with a baseball bat over the head. And that's what it is about hearing his voice. Elements to consider when we are trying to hear his voice. We have to think, what does God want? What does God want from me, Bob Abbott? What does God want from you? Well, he wants followers. And one of the things, again, that I think, if Christianity, being a Christian was illegal in Canada, would there be enough evidence in a court of law to convict you? You know, that's a question I like asking myself. Would there be enough evidence in a court of law for somebody to convict me of being a Christian? Worshippers, we should be giving him worth, is what, from the Old English, what that really means. We like to tend to think that, you know, I made my living here, and I did this, and I did that, and, well, should we not give thanks to God, give him the worth he deserves for helping us through all these things? and glorifiers. He wants to see us giving him glory. In Isaiah, it says, I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to idols. Thank you. That's another thing to praise the Lord for our pastors. So in the past, I'm old enough to remember when the Leafs were winning Stanley Cup. And the glory of the Toronto Maple Leafs was a winning hockey team. How much more now, and people remember that glory, but how much more, what has God done? What is his glory? What do we see him doing? How can we recount his blessings in our life? And sometimes, just gratitude for help, for the way he helps. You know, I actually applied this to my own life just this last week. Having better eyesight now than I've had since high school. I'm 63 years old. I just have to return. And so I told somebody that I'm thankful now for even the miracle of modern medicine, because how many times have the people of God prayed for God to help them when it comes to medical issues, health, and this sort of thing? That's one thing that I told somebody I was thankful for. And even sort of a bit of a side here, the fact that I need insulin to survive, if it wasn't for that discovery, I would have been dead by now. I've had it for 25 years. So being able to be grateful and give him the glory for things he's done like that, I think is important. Who does God use to help us hear his voice? Well, who did God use back in the Exodus? Moses. But who does God use now? Our pastors. Remember the Exodus, how they refused to listen to God's rep. And when you refuse to listen to God's representative deliver God's message, guess who you're really not listening to? God himself. To illustrate this a little more, a lot of times in the Bible, they use things from around them, the context of their culture. And sometimes our pastors can be described as being shepherds, and we're the sheep. An example of this is many times because of, you know, it was quite a bit more wild then. At night, what would happen, especially in a place like Jerusalem, all the sheep would come into, you know, several shepherds would bring all the sheep into one pen so they would be protected for the night. The significance of this is when they had to go out, how did they know whose sheep was whose? And I'll just give you a little story here. I'll read it for you. Judith Fain is a PhD candidate at the University of Durham in the States. As a part of her study, she spends several months each year in Israel. One day while walking on a road near Bethlehem, Judith watched as three shepherds conversed with their separate flocks of sheep. The three men hailed each other and just started talking to each other. While they were conversing, their sheep intermingled, and it all melted into one big flock. Couldn't tell whose sheep was whose. Wondering how the shepherds would be able to identify their own sheep, Judith waited until the men were ready to say their goodbyes. She watched, fascinated, as each of the shepherds called out to the sheep. They all started off in their own directions. She watched, fascinated, as each of the shepherds called out to the sheep. At the sound of the shepherd's voice, and it says here, like magic, the sheep separated again into three flocks. Apparently, some things in Israel haven't changed for thousands of years. The sheep followed their shepherd's voice. And if we are to try to make our shepherd's job a little easier, our over-shepherd, when his voice, are we going to hear his voice and follow him with that same diligence that even stupid little sheep were able to do? Now, why would the sheep follow the shepherd? Well, David gives us a little bit of insight into that in Psalm 23. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. And you go, maybe, so? I shall not want. What's the significance of that? Like, I like challenging sometimes just to get to the bottom of the meaning of some of these things. But the Lord is David's shepherd because he's brought David to the point of him not wanting or desiring anything else but God. I shall not want. And why? Because he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. David has learned the place of rest and calm is with his Lord, is with God. His provision, green pastures and quiet waters, is with God. In verse 4 of Psalm 23, it even says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, life's worst circumstances, when your heart maybe is the hole in your heart is big enough for a tractor trailer to drive through, and you feel like the pain will never go away. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What is David trying to tell us with that? Why is it leading him to not fearing any evil? Well, they usually had a pretty big staff with them, and on the end of the staff was a big hook that was used for rescuing. When the sheep was in a dangerous position, they could lift the individual sheep out. But the rod, it got my interest because the rod had a dual purpose. Remember what David told when he wanted to go face Goliath? He protected his sheep from the lion and the bear. Well, that's what his rod would have helped him with, because it was a heavy piece of wood that if any wild animal or prey would try to come, boom, whack. He would almost use it like a club. But he also would use it on the sheep. If the sheep were wandering too close to danger, whack. They were kept from danger. And that's what David's saying. He's got a few of those whacks from God to keep David, though, out of danger. Now, let's see how the people of Israel fared after a warning they were given. If we could run the PowerPoint. Okay. We're going to see how well this works here. Hear his voice. Okay, in Numbers 14, what has happened is that the spies have come back with a report from the promised land, from the land of Canaan. Two spies gave a good report, Joshua and Caleb. The rest of them said, oh, these are giants. And to put it into perspective too, these small kingdoms that they were spying out were nowhere near the powerful land of Egypt. Nowhere near. Egypt was the big guy on the block. These were just small little bitty kingdoms that Egypt could have dealt with like that if they wanted to. So you think by now, why would they, couldn't they have said, oh, well, if we got help with Egypt, you know, dealing with these other guys, maybe we shouldn't worry about it too much. But what's led to us to this point and why God seems to have been so harsh with the people of Israel? Well, event one, you remember. I'm going to go through a few events here. But event one was when Aaron's rod swallows up the others, Exodus 7. The plagues that were sent, Exodus 7 to 11. Leaving Egypt, they got silver, gold, and clothing, and goodwill. That's what it says there. Then not only did they get the spoils of Egypt, they got the goodwill of the people, maybe partly because you got to get out of here. We don't want any more plagues or we're going to get in trouble. But and when they left Egypt, they had pillars of fire and smoke. Event five, then the pillars go behind them as they get close to the Red Sea and the Egyptians are getting closer to protect them. The Red Sea parted in event six, and the Egyptian threat was eliminated. And then as an example on how to react at the goodness of God, Moses and Miriam went at length to sing songs praising God for his deliverance. And then within 3 days of the Red Sea occurrence, they were grumbling about not having water and being thirsty. But God, God had his patience, because then he says, okay, if you follow me with all your heart, and this is my paraphrase, I will keep you from what's happened to the Egyptians. So even then, he wasn't harsh on them. He was still trying to teach them, to coax them about hearing his voice. And then event 9 in Exodus 16, manna. When they were wanting food, they got manna. Event 10, grumbling about not having water at Meribah. Moses whacks a rock and out comes the water. Event 11, Moses lifts up his hands, and as long as he keeps his hands up, they get victory. Now, I'm not a warrior, but I know that's not your typical way to wage a war. To me, it was obvious that that would have been a miracle. Moses meeting God on Mount Sinai. Now, if you ever want a light and sound show, when you read Exodus 19, there's a real light and sound show, lightning and thunder, and they were told not to go to the mountain, otherwise they would die. Only Moses was allowed. Event 13, the Ten Commandments. While Moses was at Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments and all the law were given. Exodus 20 to 31. But then, no sooner did the people of Israel, they lose their patience, and the people, many of the people of Israel were smote for the golden calf incidents, make us a god. It's like all this stuff that's happened till now, and they haven't learned the lesson. And then God met with Moses in the tent of meeting, Exodus 33. And God make a covenant with the people of Israel and promising to do miracles. Again, a cloud left the tent, the tabernacle, and guided them into the wilderness of Paran, Numbers 10. And then when people complained against the Lord, there are so many consumed by fire. You know, what would scare me is if somebody were, after a business meeting, went out in the parking lot and complained and were consumed by fire, that would get my attention, wouldn't it? Like, these are the questions I tend to be asking and wondering about. Here, 19, they need food again. They're tired of manna, and they say, we want some meat. And then the last event I've had here, maybe there's more, but this is just a cursory survey. God gives and takes away, through Moses, the people of Israel. God is beseeched by Moses to on Miriam's behalf, but he gives and tells Moses in 7 days she's going to be better. And sure enough, God takes away the leprosy from Miriam. Now, we get to Numbers 14, and some things jump out at me. Now, verse 1, then all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And that was the response to hearing the bad news about how tough it's going to be to try to take the promised land, the land of Canaan. All the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, would that we have died in the wilderness, or in the land of Egypt, or would that we have died in the wilderness? Well, taking a look at verse 26, guess what again, what you can discover? Grumbling against Moses and Aaron is equated with grumbling against God. And all these events, these 20 things that I've outlined here, are why in Hebrews 3, it says they refuse to hear the voice of God, hear his voice. Or would that we have died in the wilderness? And because of their unbelief, now God has said, well, if that's what you want, all these years I've led you. This is, I'm imagining what God is doing, but you'll have to excuse my extrapolation. And he says, well, you're going to have it your way. Rather than following the advice of Joshua and Caleb, and you're following those 10 spies, have it your way. You will die in the wilderness. And that's just what happened. Everybody 20 years old, and Israel was condemned to wander in the wilderness for 40 years, and anybody 20 years old were told that they would die in the wilderness. And it would only be their children that inherit the promised land. Thank you. I had a superintendent once a long time ago, and what goes in my mind is the advice he gave. He wasn't a Christian, but he said, you never wish for something too hard. Your worst nightmare might happen. You might get it. Well, expressing, there's certain things you don't tell God, and this was one of them. And you know how some people act? There's certain things you never say to God. I want what's coming to me. Well, with God, you never say something like that. We have to be careful with our wants and desires to keep them in line with what God wants. In other words, when God's servant speaks, we need to hear God's voice. Pastor Jacques and Pastor Noel, that's their desire, is to see a congregation that wants to hear his voice and evidence in their life. So with chronic unbelief, we'll call it, God's voice became quiet. I think that's the worst thing that could happen to us. God is patient with us. God is very patient with us. And if we just keep him away, the one thing that we don't want him to do is to pull his hand back and not be involved in our life. You know, when we go, let's go back to the sheep here. If the sheep don't listen to the shepherd, if they don't listen to his voice, what will happen? They might not get provided for when it comes to eating, shelter, from the bad weather, or even from the dangers of life, robbers and animals. We all should hear what David says in Psalms 23. Even though, and the biggest test of our Christian walk is, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. If God is to be our shepherd, and we're do like those old shepherds did when they called their sheep and the sheep followed them, if we are to do that, we have to learn to hear his voice. The sheep were not born with this inclination to follow a particular man. No. They had to learn it. And Hebrews 3 wants us to learn properly to heed and hear his voice. There's an approach that I have, and it's called the opposite approach. Two verses that I used for this, and be patient, this is going somewhere. The opposite, Romans 2:4, chapter 2, verse 4 says, or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? Hebrews 12:6 says, for those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. To get a hold of these verses and really love to read them, because at first glance you go, oh, do I have to do that? We have to realize that there will be the odd course correction in our life. Without it, we'll never be able to walk more like Jesus. Remember that very often, and this is something I've discovered, practical experience, I'm not going to say anything about anybody else, but sin in my life is not always easy to remove. That is why the people of God, I think, sometimes have their problems. They don't hear his voice, whether in the Sinai wilderness or Newcastle. Whatever excuses we use, I think the end result is it seems to find out ways of getting out of being obedient to God. And I think it has to do with the opposites in the verses I just read, because our natural inclination is self-defense, is it not? You know, when we're challenged or attacked, we tend to want to defend ourselves. And for instance, we tend to express our Christian spirituality and how good we look on Sundays. We want to come here and do what I call the halo polishing attitude. Just get it nice and shiny and I can show off to everybody. Well, that is not what we're about, and that's the opposite of Christian spirituality. Sometimes we want to zero in on what we're good at. There might be a particular area of Christian life that we find that we're successful at, and we want to zero in on that. And that's all we think to worry about. But if we do that, we ain't going anywhere. It's how we deal with those problem areas in our life that we have difficulty with. We don't want to stall forward progress. If we want to walk more like Jesus, we have to deal with sin in our life when it comes to our attention, with those areas that keep us from making progress. And for me, trying to apply all this, this is what hearing his voice is all about. You know, the people of Israel wanted, what did they want? They wanted everything for themselves. They kept wanting and only focusing on what I want. Romans 8:13 is a way to take those two verses I just read a little further, a little closer, drills down a little more specifically this problem with opposite. We don't come here to show off to each other, to try to impress Jacques. What we try to do, I think, is in company now in Romans 8:13. If we live according to the flesh, we must die. And logically, rational thinking, what's the opposite of that? If we live perfect, we will live. But what the verse says, and this is again Christian opposites, Romans 8:13, if we live according to the flesh, we must die. But if by the Spirit we put to death the deeds of the body, we will live. By the Spirit, his involvement in our life is that he goes, Bob, I just saw what you did. You want to make a change there, pal? He's involved to convict us, to challenge us. And it involves a bit of involvement on our part to put to death the deeds of the body. What does that mean? Well, when somebody dies and passes away, they're buried, and they don't have, like with Rick Trolley, we'll have a relationship. We go back and forth, and we are involved in each other's life at church here. But with somebody passing away, we're not involved. They don't have that effect on us anymore. And that's what he's saying, that this stuff now, you deal with it. Make it dead so it doesn't have an impact on your life anymore. And that takes a bit of practice. And sometimes you might have to go to somebody and say, brother, you know, I got this problem. I need an accountability partner. Just pray with me and once in a while phone me up to see how I'm doing with this. You know, sometimes it takes that humility for someone to come alongside of you and help you walk more like Jesus, to hear his voice. 1 John 1:8 also. There's two verses here I'll read. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. Confession, that's going to be a little effort sometimes on itself. Confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That involves two things. Yes, it deals primarily with the penalty of that sin, but it also, when he cleanses us, it involves us to help walk a little more like Jesus. He helps to cleanse us to say, okay, Bob, deal with it. And Bob tries to deal with it, and he finds out that God, well, has given me grace. I can do something about it. 1 John 2:1 now. It says, "My little children, I write these things to you so that you do not sin, or you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate or a defense lawyer with God, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is a propitiation for our sins. He takes care of us. We need a little gratitude to show how he's helped us through." 2 Chronicles 19 outlines that King Jehoshaphat had made an evil alliance, or an alliance with an evil king. And Jehu the prophet comes to him and says, "What's this you're doing? You've shamed," and this is my paraphrase again, "you've shamed the Lord. What's going on here?" And Jehu the prophet takes the challenge, or Jehoshaphat the king takes the challenge from Jehu, and he goes back to Jerusalem, and then he goes from Dan to Beersheba, from one end of Israel to the other, bringing the people back to the Lord, the God of their fathers. That's the kind of humility a king had to make it right with God, and that's what we should be doing. Have the humility to be able to deal with those things that keep us from walking. You know, when we hear his voice now, what do we need to do? Well, Sundays are the big thing. When we come, we should want to hear his voice. Preaching the word on Sundays. You know, sometimes it's not just being able to hold up a piece of paper afterwards and after Pastor Jacques has said 10.0. You know, it's not our evaluation. I think God is evaluating us and saying, "Bob, what is there in that sermon that you can be challenged with? How can you hear his voice?" Counseling us through the storms of life, whether it's another Christian, one of our pastors. We are not lone ships in the night. There's a reason why, you know, you've got me here. Because there might be one time with your gifts, you might be able to counsel me and help me through a difficult time. And we might as well get used to each other and use each other for God's glory, because we're going to be spending eternity together. Might as well get used to each other. And sometimes we need to be happy and learn from the victory of other Christians. When the pastor or other Christians have victory in their life over something, rejoice with them, but then learn and say, "How can I do that? If that's what they've done, maybe God help me to do that too." Just like Moses and Miriam showed the people of Israel how to react to a spectacular blessing of God. What are some of the applications now? How do we apply this lesson here and now? As what happened in Moses' time, when we speak against God's representative and the message that is conveyed, very often we speak against God. That's what happened with Moses. And that's what happened with Numbers 14. They grumbled against Moses, but in 26, he said, "They're grumbling against me," God said. If God is for us, who's against us? You know, if we really believe that God is sovereign and he's given us all this thing, like Romans talks about, if he did not even spare his own son, how will he not with him, his son, give us all things? Let us avail on all these things and keep an eye out for what God has in store. And ask the question, the kind of question that should have been asked by the people of God after the Red Sea victory. Well, if God has done this and that, surely he's going to help us with this. That is something we need to do. Always having that reaction so that we're prepared when God's voice is spoken to us, when he actually says something, that we're prepared to hear, whether it's convenient or inconvenient, we're prepared. And a reaction that I like is from Daniel 3:16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." I just hope when it comes to big things, little things, or anything in between, that we can have that same passion for saying, "I'm going to follow you, God. I'm going to follow you, Lord Jesus." And that sums it up for tonight. I think if we follow these things, if we're diligent and passionate about wanting to hear his voice, that's one of the best presents we could give to appreciate our pastors and makes their job a joy, makes their job easier. I'm going to close with a blessing, and this is just my own blessing. And I hope this can be the heart of all of us for our pastors. Jock and Noel, may the Lord give you a congregation who will always want to hear his voice. May the Lord give you a congregation who seeks after obedience. May the Lord give you a congregation who has the humility to change. And overall, a congregation who is passionate about what God, about knowing what God wants next in their life. I think we after all their effort in us, that we owe it to God to fulfill that blessing for our pastors. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again that you have given us your representative here among us with Jacques and with Noel. And Lord, we would pray and ask that you would help us to hear your voice. And in the end, not only pleasing you, but making the jobs of our pastors a little more easier and a little more joyful. Lord, we pray that as we do this, that we would look forward to those things that would please you, forsaking our sin, that we would leave being halo polishers and actually being confessors and repenters. Looking forward to how you're going to work in our life, we again wait for answered prayer as we continue our walk with you. Amen.
Amen. Why don't you please stand?